Hey, good evening, everybody. I am Keith Bledsoe. We are Everyday People, and we are South Shore Tars to Life. I'll get through this. I'll get through it. You know, woke up this morning and I got a text. Message. That my buddy, Kevin Palmer, Gunny, had passed away. I got this. And I did something really bizarre, because I couldn't believe it. And what I did, as soon as I saw it, I was in a group text from my good friend Tamia Melvin. You know, I picked up the phone and I called his number, because I'm ready to say, hey, man, you know, you need to, you know, this shit's being said out here. You need to go ahead and straighten this stuff out, man. You know, this is what I'm thinking before it really sunk in. And I didn't get an answer, of course, so I went to his Facebook page. And I saw a message from his daughter. And it hit me. I'm still in shock. But, oh, wow. I don't know. I still don't have the words. I thought I can, you know, I was okay. But that's why I said I need you all to help me get through this. Anybody who wants to call in, 718. 664-9513. I'm honored to have here with me the co-host, another good friend of mine, South Shore alumni brother, my first baseman, good friend, great brother, just like Gunny was, my brother, Keith Porterfield. Keith, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm hanging in there, bro. Hanging in there, man.
I know that I asked you to come on because, you know, in talking to Brother Gunny, he talked about you, and he told me how you all are real close and you all had spent time and actually lived together at one time. Take us back and tell us how that started, how you guys became to be so connected.
Okay, I met Gunny in 1972, man, my sophomore year at South Shore High School, right. He was living on Jeffrey, 82nd and Jeffrey. I was living on 83rd and Clyde, right? And we just hooked up, man. It was like two peas in the pod from Jump Street, you know what I'm saying? Hell, you know, I've been married three times, you know, but Gunny introduced me to two of my three wives. He dropped the ball on the first one. I'm not going to hold that against him. But I love that brother, man. That's my dude. 48 years, Keith. 48 years, but I've been knowing him, man. You know? And then when I came back to Chicago in 2000, because I lived in Rochester for 25 years, I come back to Chicago in 2000, and I got in touch with one of our homies that we grew up with, right? And I stopped by to check on him, right? And he immediately called Gunny on the phone and said, Keith over here, man. And Gunny said, Keith. And he said, Daryl, don't let him leave. I'm on my way. He come all the way from the north side, Pratt and Clark, all the way to 83rd Clyde to pick me up. And that's how I wound up staying in this basement, you know, because I was tired of paying $300 a week for rent in the motel. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And he comes swoop me up, right? And so I get back to his house, rent out his basement, and we hanging out. It's great. We back together and everything, you know. And then his housekeeper, who was my present wife, she was the auntie of his ex wife. At the time, it was his wife, right? So we got introduced. This other one thing led to another, and I've been with her 20 years. So Gunny knocked it out of the park on that one. You know what I'm saying? The second time was the charm, but I'm just in a bad place right now. You know what I'm saying?
Take us before we got quite a few callers in. Take us back to to South Shore. I know South Shore had a football Hall of Fame. He would have been on the first ballot, and you were on the team with him. What was he like, and what made him so great as a quarterback?
Dude, he was so intense as far as the playbook, the plays that were being called. And he was a perfectionist, you know what I'm saying? He riled up his team, you know, just like Mahomes doing now for Kansas City, you know what I'm saying? That's the type of quarterback Kevin was. Gunny was an amazing quarterback. He played at Soldier Field as a sophomore in 1972, because I didn't start playing football till 74 and 75. But Gunny was a sophomore on the team that played for the city championship at Soldier Field, though. Gunny was amazing. And he wasn't just a football player. He was a baseball player, too. I played with him on Connie. I played with him at South Shore High School. You know, the dude was a ball-playing machine. He was phenomenal.
Let me, we're gonna come back to you, and because I want to get some calls in, but I want to come back to you. We'll get some callers in, and when the callers, if you're on, I'm gonna call out the last four digits of your phone number. If you're just on to listen and didn't really want to say anything, just let me know that you're listening, and I appreciate that you are listening. I'll bring on the first call. The last four digits is 3074, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. This is Carl.
Yep. Carl, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing the best I can for now, man. I'm still in shock. And I don't know, man, Keith. It's tough for me. You know, I've been knowing Kevin, too. I've been knowing him for 46 years. I met him in 1974. In the summer of 1974, that's when I met him. And I had just transferred. I moved on 75th in Ridgeland. And I walked over to the park. And the first person I met, I met Mr. Turner, Coach Turner. And what's that former principal name? Dr. Kushner.
Right. Yeah.
And I brought my transcripts and everything from Dusable Trouble and gave it to Coach Turner. And Coach Turner, he looked at me and he looked at me. He asked me a couple of questions and whatnot. And I, you know, he said, okay, you want to play here? I said, yeah, I want to go to school and play. So I went and got enrolled in school. Within the next hour, I was out there practicing with Farmer, Frog, KP, and from that day, I almost hit Farmer in practice. because I came there with that attitude. I was a, you know, that beast attitude, and I almost hit him. And Saeeba said, "Uh-huh, you can't hit the quarterback." And Farmer just smiled at me, and we've been tight ever since, man. And it's like,
sure. Go ahead.
This cat here, Kevin Farmer, he was wise, man. He was a smart guy. He was a leader. This cat was brilliant, man. And that's what makes it so hard, man. This, I just talked to Kevin a few days ago, and I was gonna do some. I was gonna connect with him in the weight room. And he always gave me advice, and I always gave him advice. He would inbox me with little stuff, and I would inbox him. We had a great relationship, man. Kevin gave me my first real job. You know, Kevin also was a social worker, but like in 1989, 1988,
right.
He had connections. Right. He introduced me. I got my first job with CHA because Kevin was a counselor. A social worker,
right.
the boy was brilliant, man. He was great, man. And I got my start with him. And I had never worked a job consistent since I got out of college until I connected with Kevin. And hey, man, a number of good memories with that brother, man.
Share with us a gunny memory that you can look back on, just kind of make you smile a little bit, or make you just kind of, you know. Maybe on the football field, in a huddle, or in a locker room. Just give us something to go on as a final thought.
Okay. I ran into Kevin in 1987, and he had on a suit, and I said, "Man, what are you doing, man? With a suit on?" I just bust out laughing at him, and he started laughing too, because I had never seen him. You know, since the graduation date with a tie, and he was looking business professional, and I ran into him on the low end, and I bumped into him, bang, and he bumped me, and we embraced for almost 10 minutes, man, and right there, man, that's one of the most things that I can remember him, that long embrace. If I'm 6'1", Kevin was about 6'3", and that embrace there, I still can feel that embrace, man. This guy's spirit is in me, man. Every day when I'm, it's like the South Shore Tar family, man. It's awesome, and with this brother, man, I don't know, man. I'm really upset, but I'm also happy to have known this brother, man. I known him, and a bunch of more cats, Frog from Horace Mann. I didn't know him. The reason why I know about Horace Mann is because of Frog, you, Keith, and, you know, I'm hip to the Horace Mann connection. I wasn't part of that because I was at the Saba Upper Grade Center. But, hey, man, he has a lot of history, and we have a lot of history together. And I'm just, you know, trying to pull myself together, man. Thanks for allowing me to speak on Kevin. But Kevin was brilliant. He was no nonsense. He'd be there for you. He wasn't never critical. Never ever had I talked with him or he showed a negative side of him. I don't know him that way. Even if he didn't like what you was gonna say, he'll smile and keep it moving, man. Thanks for allowing me to save
you. I appreciate you calling in, man. You take care, and we're going to get some other callers in, brother. But thanks for calling, Brother Carl.
Thanks, man.
All right, man. Okay, we're going to take caller last four digits. If you're just listening, just let me know, and we'll go to the next caller. But last four digits, 8706. 8706. I can hear you loud and clear. How you doing?
Hi, this is Michelle.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey. Oh, hey, I just want to hug you.
Man, you.
What were you saying?
I was just going to say, you know, Kevin and I talked, and we talked deep. You know, we talked about life, things that we've gone through, how we screwed things up, and how we got ourselves together. But he loved you. And he told me that more than once. He told me that more than one time. Give us your thoughts and share how to, you know, I remember when you all first kind of connected, and how did that even come about? Just tell us what you like to say.
I think from him asking a few of my, you know, from Facebook and asking a few of my friends, Dave Henson and Bryant, you know, from us conversing on Facebook and being silly back and forth, and him asking, you know, who is that? And then the name, he recognized the name and asked about Joe. And I was like, yeah, that's my older brothers, Joe and Gerald. And that's, yep, so it's a connection from Facebook. And from there, I shared what I was going through as far as, not to tell y'all my business, but I was in a car accident and I injured my hip. And I through therapy, and so he was just telling me about him being a personal trainer, and we just went from there.
Wow! It was so bizarre because you told me. I mean, I saw you sent me the text about him, you know, saying that once his daughter had gave birth to the baby, that
just
he was talking about moving to Houston.
Just last night. He gets off at 11 and. He'll usually text or call, you know, and just last night. And then just last week, you know, we were always talking. He was talking about Kirk Douglas dying. And so he was 103. He's like, damn, do you know how many things that man lived through? The World War One and Two and the Great Depression. So, you know, it's just. Yeah, Dunny was very, very smart, and we would have conversations from working to philosophical things, and I enjoyed.
Yeah, he was extremely, extremely intelligent. I put a post out talking about this Malcolm X documentary that they have out on Netflix, which is really cool, and you know, I was asking who were you with, Elijah Muhammad and. Or Malcolm X, and you know he pretty much said Malcolm X, and he explained it, and I agree with everything he said, and
we
just had great conversations. Wow, I'm still, oh boy,
it hasn't really set in yet. And do you know he was aware of heart disease because he lost his dad. And his dad was 56 when he passed, and he had a massive heart attack, sudden. So, that was one of the things, reason why he was on top of his health as far as his heart and diabetes. So, but just recently, he had a cold. Yeah, my somewhat like the flu or something. So he was coughing real bad, and so I don't know if that flu has something to do with. Triggering his heart attack, but
did he have any fear or apprehension about that, or did something that he talked about, or he was just because he was in tip top shape?
No, he didn't. It's just that like this is my third winter of us dating, and he said I said, do you notice every winter you get the flu? And he said and that was the reason why he was saying he was leaving Chicago because of that weather. And he'd get the flu every winter, and, you know, he had to move away from that atmosphere.
Mm.
But, this is very, very shocking.
It really is. It really is. This one hurts. This one hurts to the core. But
we were just talking about you, that picture you posted. You were out of town for a funeral.
Yeah, I was just coming back to Marianna, Arkansas, Yep.
And he was saying how good you look.
Oh, wow. Well, I tell you what, it's because of him that a couple of years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I started working out. And because I stopped, and about 2 months ago, I started back again because he kept on pushing it. All he was talking about was it not, you know, I said, man, then I finally broke down and went on in, and once I started, I can't stop now.
Good.
That is
good.
Just a great brother. I mean, just overcame obstacles. We both talked about it. We talked about, like I said, relationships that we had messed up, the depression, which was an ongoing process of both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked in depth. And I appreciate the man. I miss him. I really do.
And the love that we have for our adult children, you know?
Yes. Yes, and his yes. he treasured his granddaughter, and he just was just something else. But I'm glad you called in, Michelle. I really appreciate you taking the time to call. I was wondering, I was hoping that you would be able to get in, and I'm glad you did.
Mhm. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll continue listening.
Okay. I'm gonna. Yeah, we got a few lined up, so I want to get them all in. But you take care, and I'll be seeing you soon, I'm sure.
Okay. All righty.
All right, Michelle. Take care now. All right.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Next caller is you. Tell you what. Well, we'll take the next caller. But KP, you still with me, man? KP. KP,
yeah,
where you
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, yeah, man. I was just
okay. Now go ahead and do that. I'll go ahead and take this call and I'll come back to you.
Yeah,
next
call,
next,
man.
Yeah, we got you. Next caller, last four digits, 2744. You got it.
Hey, man, this is Harry, man.
Harry, man, how you doing, brother? Glad
man,
you called
in. I'm not good, but
I feel you.
I'm just kind of lost for words, man, and I just know that he just kept all us going, man. When we was on that field, he used to tell me, he used to say, hey Harry, he's called me Shadow, that's my name, and he would say, man, see my jersey. My jersey clean, man. All y'all dirty. I want my jersey to stay like this. He used to tell me that, man. I need my jersey to stay clean the whole game, just like this. He was one of them type of guys. Man, I'm just lost for words, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I feel
I'm
you,
sorry,
man. If you
man.
Really... No, I feel you, brother. I'm glad you all called because I need you all to help me to get through this moment, brother. And
yeah.
Like I said, all I could do was sit on the edge of the bed and I pulled this picture up and I kept looking. I'm saying, how is this? How is this? How can this be? You know what?
But hey, Sweet Pea, I'm with you, man. We all here, man. We all loved them. We're going to always love him, man. Taj for life. That's all I can say right now, man.
Absolutely, yeah. Positively. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay,
Harry,
man. I'm listening.
Brother,
I'm
thanks,
listening.
Thanks for calling in, Brother Harry. And I'm sure whenever the arrangements are made, I'll be able to see all of you because I will, no doubt whatsoever, I will be there. So I'll see you soon.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, man.
All right, brother. Take care, brother. All right. Okay, we're going to – Brother KP, you back with us?
Yeah, man, I'm here, man. Man, that
okay.
was deep.
That was
hairy.
Yes, sir. Yes. I just wanted to tap in. I just wanted to get back and tap in with you, and I want you to share a gunny moment from the football field. You know, what or anything that sticks out that you can share with us.
On the football field?
Or in life.
I want to talk about on the baseball field. Y'all don't
okay.
know Devin Farmer was an awesome baseball player. Dude, we played high school ball together, baseball together, and then we played Connie Mack together after high school, right? You know, in the off season. But anyway, our Connie Mack coach was a scout for the Baltimore Orioles, dude. He took us to Lockport, Illinois, all day, early in the morning, and shit. Right, he took like about five or six of his players off his team to Lockport. Gunny was batting second. Gunny hit one. I mean, these pitchers was some of the best pitchers I ever seen in my life. Dude, they was throwing heat. Gunny hit one off the wall, dude. You know what I'm saying? He blasted one. Gunny could hit. But anyway, he blasted one off the wall. I, you know, of course, I'm a first baseman, but I had to play the outfield. And you know, when you first show up at this pro camp, you don't go by Keith or Kevin or your name. They give you a number, and then your number on the board behind the backstop shows all your grades for that day. It was phenomenal. It was some great athletes out there, but the best athlete out there didn't even get signed to a minor league contract. So I think that was bogus as hell to believe, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? But but I'm telling you, man, that Kevin Farmer.
I'm with you, brother. We're gonna take another. We'll get another caller in.
Get some callers.
Yeah, we'll get another caller in. Well, we want everybody to be able to express the last four digits on this next caller is 2638. 2638, you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey.
Hi. My name is Marquisa. I'm on the West Coast. And
okay.
Hey, Chef. That's my niece right there.
Hey.
Hey.
Thanks for calling in. Thank you.
I'm glad to be a part of the forum. I'm glad that it's happening because I needed somebody to talk to.
Exactly.
Same
here.
In disbelief, I am in shock because a lot of my success came by way of Kevin.
Tell it.
You know, I wouldn't even went to college if he wouldn't have said it. I also lived in the basement at one point at the farmer's house. I'm his ex-wife's cousin, and I'm his KP's niece. I'm his wife's niece. And
We're intertwined.
I was laughing because at first, before Kevin and my cousin got together, they kept saying, "I want you to meet this guy." And when I saw Kevin, I said, "Well, he's too old for me." And so my cousin said, "Well, I'll go out with the."
Right.
Had his children being born. Nonetheless.
Tell it, Marquita.
I wanted to move to California to be an actress, and he said, "Well, you ever thought about going to school for it?" I said, "Well, no, I'm a natural." He said, "Well, you should probably pad yourself because it's pretty hectic out there." I went
right,
to school.
Right.
I finished school in 3 years. Kevin pushed
right.
me. He
right.
pushed me. He helped me. He motivated me. He babysat my kids. He taught them a whole lot of things. Just in
Tell
life,
it,
he's brilliant. Y'all talk. He was brilliant. He was
yes,
amazing.
Yes, he was.
And he
Tell
was
it.
A great father to his children. When
he
walked through the door, he had Jay with him. Then came Chloe and Cody. My daughter was right behind Cody and from daycare.
Yeah.
He was right there picking them up from school. My kids didn't know nobody but Kevin after school.
Yeah.
But just an amazing person.
He was a cool cat. He was a real cool cat.
He recently was complimenting me on my weight loss because he was the one that actually introduced me to HIIT and intermittent fasting. I had never heard of it until he brought it my way. Most recently,
he was phenomenal on that.
Yeah, just encouraging me in my
writing. Phenomenal. He wanted people to live healthy.
And I can only say good about him. And he is going to be missed. He's missed right now. My son used one of his recipes tonight cooking.
Oh,
because he would show my son different recipes in the kitchen after school. And so my son just fixed his famous hot wings tonight. And we just gonna remember the good, cause it ain't nothing but good to remember. You know, when it comes to Farmer. I'm grateful. I'm just grateful to have been a part of Kevin's life. I'm grateful. Hello?
Looks like we're having a couple of technical difficulties, but that's okay. I want to thank Marquita for calling in and sharing her experience and love for our brother Kevin Gunny Farmer. And what we'll do is take a old school break. And as I do on this show, I always dedicate a moment of silence for those whom we have grown to love and appreciate who are no longer here with us. So whether or not you pray, meditate, or just think, do what you do as we take this time to give a moment of silence for those whom we love and respect who are no longer with us.
Today I'm more confused, yet I look for the light through the pouring rain. You know that's a game that I hate to lose, and I'm feeling, ain't it a shame? Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
Hello.
Beginning to think that I'm wasting time. I don't understand the things I do. The world outside looks so unkind. And I'm counting on you to carry me through. Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll. Joy that you've given me. I want you to know I believe in your song. In rhythm and rhyme and harmony. You've helped me along, making me strong. Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Oh, 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 oh. Give me the beat, boys, and free my soul.
Okay, we are back. And one second. Caller, last four digits, 8706. You still here?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, I don't know what, I had a little, this is, you're calling from the West Coast, right?
No, I'm in Houston. This is Michelle.
Michelle, okay. I don't know what, something happened here. Hold on, Michelle. Let me try to get the next caller. I'm glad you're still here, though. All right.
Okay. All right.
Okay, let's go last four digits, 9655. 9655, are you with us?
I'm with you, my brother. I'm here.
What's up, brother? How you doing?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Man, I'm at a little R right now. My name is Anthony Porterfield Marshall. I'm Keith Porterfield, brother, man.
Okay.
And
okay,
I'm
thanks for calling,
I'm sitting here on... Yeah, I'm sitting here listening to it on my laptop, and well, I got a story to tell about that brother, Kevin Farmer, man. Him and my brother, they taught me everything I know about sports, school, leadership. Brother used to eat at our house, sleep at our house. They were inseparable. I heard my brother talking about when they went to try out for the Baltimore Orioles. You know, I was in grammar school at Horace Mann. They were over the South Shore, and they paved the way for me all my life. I was up this morning.
I feel you.
In the word this morning. I post a word almost every morning on Facebook. About 4:35 o'clock, call came in, and I just got through posting the word, and it was Kiki, Kevin's ex-wife. And I said, "What's going on?" And she shared with me what happened. They were still at the hospital, and she was saying he was gone. My whole day was kind of twisted from that point
yes.
on. I called my brother right away because I knew he was going to be going through, and he was on the bus waiting to work. But I'm going to share something with you, man. I heard the young lady talk about how he set her career path up. You know, them brothers, man, I'm talking about in the 70s when they were when Astros were, it was like, I thought they was everything. I thought they were super fly. My brother Keith would get up in the morning, and I didn't know nothing about Anna and O'Jean. I'm like, bro, you Anna and O'Jean, we were little bitty boys, man. And him and Kevin used to see who had the, that's when they used to use the starch out the box and mix the water with it, and they would go to South Shore. And when you talk about Astros, these brothers had the best Astros. It was like picture perfect. You didn't see one without the other.
Yeah.
And some things happened over the years, especially with Kevin and Keith. I ended up, I'm going to fast forward a little bit. When I got out of college, I went to school on a baseball and academic scholarship because of these brothers, man. They taught me how to run. They taught me how to throw the ball, pitches and stuff, man. And I was a shortstop, but these guys, I never in my life, Kevin and Keith had me soak a lead ball at night in some water, man. It was like a brick and heavy. And then they would throw it to me. My hand was swelling up and turn red and go in the house crying. And my mother would say, "Why y'all out there throwing that ball to that boy like that?" And I thought they was the worst guys in the world, man. But I became one of the best players in the city.
You
over
got
the South Shore.
Yeah.
Over the South Shore, bro. Said I had a in college I went through and became and I used to tell the guys when I got to school down there, I had a profile, and none of that meant nothing to me. But what meant something to me was how I got there. And when I got out, I finished school down at Alabama State, came back home. We won the SIAC back then in 1982. I was Golden Gloves and all this. I contributed to my brother Kevin, man. And Kevin, when I came home, I went to HBCU. And when I came home, I went to work for a black company. And I went to work at Seaway National Bank. And I was getting promoted every 3 months. And I said, well, you know what? That's not challenging enough for me. And so I called Chicago Urban League. And I heard that brother talk about Kevin being a counselor and a mentor. And a, well, let me tell you what really happened. I called Chicago Urban League looking for opportunities. And I got this job developer on the phone. His name was Kevin Farmer. He said, yeah, this is Kevin Farmer. I dropped the phone. I was off work that day. And he said, Tony, what's up, man? I said, man, what you doing, man? He said, man, this is my house. And I told him what I was doing, and he asked me if I could shoot him a resume. Watch this now. I shot him a resume, bro. The brother called me back like in 2 minutes or less. He said, well, yeah. And I said, man, I'm walking down the street to the store. He said, can you get over to the office right now? I said, where you at? You know, I ain't know nothing about Chicago Urban League. I was just calling just to see what was out there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just turned down an accelerated program with a couple of, you know, Fortune 500 companies because I HBCU, I'm ready. I want to go straight to the top. That brother called me back, man, and asked me if I could get there. And I said, man, I'm on my way. When he gave me the address, now watch this. I had maybe a quarter tank of gas, and it was my brother's car. The back windshield was out. I put the plastic on it, and I got there, right? When I got there, I pulled up. I ran inside. I was suited up, threw my suit on, you know, blue suit, white shirt, red tie, corporate America, right? I'm finna go ahead and give it to him. I went in and Kevin wasn't there. Another guy seen me. Kevin had stepped out for a minute. And the guy pulled me in the office. At that time, they was getting, you know, they was having these successful completion ratios of hiring, getting people hired. And then when Kevin came down the hall, he looked in and he said, man, I said, what you doing in there? And I said, man, I'm just here. He told the guy, he said, man, this is my family, man. Come on, Tony, come here. Give me the paperwork. And we went in his office, man, and he had already began to talk to people before I got there. And it was a representative, a senior HR rep from Allstate in Barrington, Illinois, Commercial Plaza. How corporate can you get? The guy said, wow. Kevin said, Tony, wait right here. He said, hold on. He said, man, your resume is impeccable. Yeah, 3-8, yeah. You know, I was not in karate, all that stuff, man, but Kevin went out, came back. He came back with the guy. He was over another part of the building. I don't know what he told the guy, but when he came and introduced me to the guy, he said, you don't have to look no further. This here is the ideal candidate for that position you got out there, and I'm going to leave you guys to talk. And Kevin looked at me and winked and said, man, you know what to do. Man, I was in an interview maybe 15 minutes. The guy got up and said, do you have time to go out to my office right now?
Wow.
I went out to the office. Now, mind you, I looked at Kevin because I said, I need to talk to my brother. And Kevin said, what's up, man? You going? You, that's your job. They was looking for a statistician in the IT department. I ain't know nothing about no statistician. He said it was an accelerated program. You got to have a 3-5 or better. Pay is good. I think it was like $63,000 at the time. This was in 88. And I said, yeah. I said, man, I ain't got no gas. Get out there. Kevin reached in his pocket. He gave me $5. He said, you better make it on that. I said, man, I'm good. I'm gone. Now, I ain't know nothing about Barrington, Illinois, man. I didn't know I was going to go past the airport and all those places, all into the Heights.
Right.
You know, I'm fine, right? I get out of here, make a long story short, man, they hired me on the spot with a bonus because I came through Chicago Urban League.
And that came
I worked
through.
That, job for
that was a that result of Brother Gunning.
Yes, sir. That came through Kevin Farmer.
Wow.
Yeah. And they said, so he called me back. He said, man, come on, let's celebrate. When I called him, I was driving back from the place. I said, man, I hope I make it home. He said, where you at? I'm on the expressway. I blew through toll because I had no money.
Yeah.
Hey man, let me tell you something. But even backing up, going to South Shore, when I got there, it was my brother and Kevin, right? And Keith was saying, when we got there, they was like, man, you know, people want to know who you know when you're on the field, right? And they said, man, that's Gunny and Keith guy, man. I said, no, man, I'm not Gunny and Keith guy, man. That's my brother, man. And they were like, yeah, man, you do it, man. I'm like, yeah. So I went straight as a freshman playing varsity in baseball. It was only four of us. And it was another guy by the name of God, I can't remember the name. Shelby. Shelby.
Okay.
I never forget
his name.
His name was Shelby, and he was a security guard. And he was trained to go to the fire department. And he said, hey, man, you make sure you tell him that Kevin and Keith. I said, man, Keith, my brother. He said, well, you good. But I'm telling you, tell him Kevin and Keith. And I went back home. I told my brother, I said, man, my brother was down in Rough, and I called him. I said, man, they said, why your name different than Keith if he's your brother? And then I guess my brother must have called and talked to somebody. But Kevin came up there. And it was over from there, man. Through that position at Allstate, it enabled me to travel the world installing some of the largest financial institution banking systems in the world. And the training that I got there, because it was being accelerated. We were working on things back then. And I would touch down with Kevin every now and then. He's like, Tony. He said, man. So we plugged a lot of people up through Kevin. Because when you talk about articulate, and I was on a debate team in school, and we would have these conversations. And he would always say, hey, man, you and your brother going to get your ass in trouble. You don't know nothing. Act like you don't know nothing. Dummy up. Because I'd be very quick to want to talk about what I knew. And then even through high school, he taught me all the chants. It's just the little things, man. It was so amazing. And I just rose to the top because of these two brothers in my life. And I want my brother to know that I love him, man. I heard him in the background on a couple of occasions tonight. And I want to say a prayer for the listeners and people that are actually going through something and feeling the discomfort in this moment, if that's all right with you, brother.
Well, I'm glad you called in, and we'll close it out. We'll close this call out with your prayer. Go right ahead, brother.
All right. Okay. Well, Father God, we come to you once again for your wisdom and understanding. Thank you that you are our creator. You know us better than anyone else. You know the pain and grief that people are feeling at this time. You have promised, O God, that you will make all things work together for our good. Please provide comfort for me, the family, the farmer family, that it may use this time, this difficult time, to develop our character. You are the God of peace. May you sanctify us completely, and may my whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who called me and everyone on this phone. As faithful to the end, O God. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
I want everybody to remember the good moments and the memories that Kevin had left, and share those things, man, because you're doing a good thing, brother. This is something, this is phenomenal, and I want to commend you for your obedience in this hour. Because people need this, as one young lady said, she needed someone to talk to. So I commend you and thank you, Brother Bursa.
You're very welcome, man. And I appreciate you calling in to share your stories, man. And thank you for the prayer, man.
One love, brother. Peace.
Take care, brother. All right, now.
All right.
All right, we have another caller. This one doesn't have four digits. It just has a set of ones, 10-1. So I'm just going to take this caller here, and we'll just say, caller, can you hear me? Mystery caller. Hello? Okay, maybe a step away. Caller, are you here? I don't have a last four digits to give you because they're all ones. Private number, I don't know. Okay, well, we'll mute it if you want to. I'll check back with you in a few minutes. So if you want to call back in, then I'll see that you're ready. Looks like KP dropped out, but well, let me just say this, and hopefully I see Michelle is here. I'm gonna get you back on too, Michelle, because I definitely hopefully you can hang in there, because I want to get a closing thought from you before the before the show is over. If we get more callers in, we'll take them. Right now, let's see. We do have a caller here. Okay. Last four digits. I know who this is. 1541. How are you? Right
now, hey. How are you?
Hey, Sharon. How are you?
Oh, wow. Shoot. I was trying to get through and KP asked me if I had a code. I'm like, oh, I don't know. Okay. So, let
tell
me
them
start
who you
by
are.
Saying.
Tell them who you are first. They'll know who you are.
I am Sharon Borsum, Sharon Crow Borsum. My sister Pamela Crow is the mother of Keith Porterfield's daughter, Hannah.
Okay.
We are family. Some years ago, KP took an interest in, I just started dabbling in writing, okay? And he said, hey, sis, you know, I have a good friend, someone that you should probably make a friendship with because he's awesome at it. I don't have the stories of being at South Shore like y'all do. I don't have the stories of farmer's athleticism and all that he did then. And I'm sorry, I'm blundering through this right now because I got the news this morning and it shook me to my very core. This man.
Oh yeah. I felt that same thing.
He, you know, Keith Porterfield, I love you, brother. He introduced Kevin Farmer and I and you know, Gunny. I never called him Gunny. I'd say, hey, Farmer, you know, I'm struggling with this. Where do I put this? And he'd say, okay, girl, all right. You have your pen and your paper? Yes. Yes, sir, I do. All right, then, I want you to just write it down. And this...
Take your time. You're good.
He brought me out of so many, my writing, my book is entitled Pieces of Sharon, and it's not a story, it's just page to page. It's not a novel, it's not anything that has an ending. And Kevin understood this. And about 3 weeks ago, I was sharing something with him. I said, I've run out of paper. I'm not finished. He said, you are finished. That one's finished. You have time for another one. Just do it, girl. And I said, no, I'm not finished. And he understood my level of passion. He understood my level of anxiety as well. You have time for another one. Just do it. I'm like, oh, damn you, Farmer. Okay. I'm going to do this. I said, but what if nobody wants to read it? What if nobody wants to read my words? He said, is that why you're doing it? kind of. I need someone's approval. He said, you have mine.
There you go.
You have mine. So I kind of shut down. No, I'm not, it's not finished. And I texted him Sunday night, and he said, you're never finished as a writer. You just have to start anew. He always had such an eloquent way of speaking, and he...
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He found words within inside me that I did not even know that I could raise to the surface. They were buried because I did not want to take upon the true meaning. So what I just want to say is, for all of you, my deepest condolences. I am so, so sorry, and today shook me to my very core. He was a wonderful athlete. He was a wonderful mentor. I just want to kind of press upon a moment for what he did specifically for me in my life, and I will take this wherever I go. He held no judgment. No judgment toward anyone, and he just
I feel you. I feel you. I understand. I was at that same loss for words for a long time, and it's still sinking in.
Of words, and he would always help me find the words, and I will find them. I will find them, and I will finish this book. And my dedication page will be to him.
Well, Sharon, I'm glad you called in. I'm glad you got through, and I appreciate you sharing your memories and your story with Brother Kevin with us.
Thank you for letting me be a part of this. Have to stay strong. I know what you were going to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You take care of yourself here, and perhaps I'll see you. I'll definitely be in town whenever it is, the services are. And I look forward to seeing everybody, unfortunate circumstances, but it's always like family to be around my people. So you take care of yourself here. And thanks for calling
in. I will. You do the same. All right. Love you.
All right. Take care, baby. Love you, too.
Bye.
Okay. We have a couple of more calls. If you're still coming in. We'll take I'm going to reach back. I see the private number just called back with the one. I don't know what the last four digits is, but I'll just shout it out here. Caller, are you there? If you shout it out, if I can hear you, you're the one. Caller, can you hear me? Or are you just listening? Or do we have someone just, I don't know, but they're not going to say anything. I'm going to disconnect the call. And I'm going to move to caller, last four digits, 2638. 2638, are you with us?
Yeah, but I had it turned, but I had to call back. I think I got disconnected.
Yeah, you're from the West, on the West Coast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know. I apologize. Something went happened with the studio phones here, and you dropped out there. But you want to? Okay, you want to just keep on listening on?
I came back. Yep, I came back to listen. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Hold on. We'll get another caller in. I think we have one more. Hold on. I had this together. I had it all written. I had the numbers in sequence and order and everything, and something happened whereas I might end up going back to the – well, let's try and see. This call has been holding for about 6.5 minutes. Last four digits, 5233. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Who's calling? Who do I have?
This is Jade. This is Kevin's oldest daughter.
Hey, Jade. How are you? I'm so glad you called in. I'm glad.
Hey.
I'm honored that you took the time to call in. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very grateful for you to even do this. I'm really enjoying hearing the stories about my dad.
Oh, I haven't. At the end of the show, I got some more for you. Your dad was an amazing guy, and we really clicked because we shared some of the same life experiences. And I'll let you go on, but I'll say this one thing about that I really appreciated about your dad and brothers like him is that he admitting his faults.
Mm-hmm.
He never blamed anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody ain't like that. But go ahead.
No.
I'll let you take it.
I mean, I really don't know what to say. I'm just so
okay.
I'm so, you know, I'm not as, I guess I'm upset, obviously, but I'm not distraught. I feel very peaceful. You know what I mean? Like, there was nothing left unsaid between me and my dad. You know how you lose people sometimes and you have those shoulda, woulda, couldas?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I have none. You know, my father knew exactly how I felt about him, and I know exactly how he felt about me. We had a perfect relationship. I couldn't ask for a better father. You know, I had a lot of adversity at a young age. Some brought on by myself. Some,
mm-hmm.
You know, that life just throws at you. And he just was always that one constant, you know, that foundation. And, you know, he was raised by a phenomenal woman. My grandmother was a regal, just the most phenomenal black woman you could ever imagine. And she poured all of that into him. And he poured all of that into me. They both poured it into me. You know, we had like a little secret club when I was little because I spent so
right.
much time with
mm-hmm.
my dad. And, you know, before my brother and sister came along, you know, I had like 12, 13 years with them by myself. And we just, you know, we had a really, really special bond, you know, literally up until this morning, you know, when he passed, you know, when I got to the hospital and I went to go see him, you know, I had a conversation with him just like how we would have any other time, just like we had the day before.
Wow.
And I just feel, you know, obviously I'm going to miss him, but I just feel so blessed to have had him.
That's glad. That's really beautiful. It's beautiful to hear. That's beautiful to hear. And the way he talked about his kids and his grandkids, and the way he, you know, his mother, your grandma, and my mother were friends. They were both crossing guards.
Oh wow!
And yeah, they were friends, and I didn't know that in high school. I learned it afterwards. You know, he didn't know it either. But yeah, they were friends, and I tell you, he was a great dude. He was a cool cat. We made some of the same mistakes. We dealt with some of the same depression. It was ongoing process, I called it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciated talking to him. He's upfront and honest. I actually did about three or four shows with him on this network.
Okay.
You know, he talked about health and exercise and staying in shape. And yeah, he did about, maybe I'll pull him up and post him. But he did shows with me here, and he's the one who inspired me to go to the gym and to work out and get in shape, because he kept pushing it. He just kept pushing it, and he wouldn't back off.
Yeah. He was like, I always tell people, you know, if it's any question that you ever have, call my dad. If he doesn't know it, he'll have the answer for you in less than an hour, I promise. He was just like a very just, you know, phenomenal person, and, you know, it's nice to know that other people felt that way about him too. And I, you know, I just, again, I just feel very blessed. I want to be sad, but I understand life and death, and I know that I wasn't going to be able to have them forever. And so
yeah.
I'm just glad. You know, I'm 37. I had them for mm-hmm. a good amount of time. You know, he got to see his kids grow up. His oldest granddaughter is an adult. She graduated college. My daughter's in New York. He got to see her do all these wonderful things. And my son is 8. He would come take my son every other week. He'd take him somewhere different, take him to a different park, take him to a different museum. You know, he's going to be missed. But like my son said to me earlier, my 8-year-old, he said, you know, Mommy, we lost. It's like, but you know, we still have each other. And, you know, it's that's my father in him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That good-heartedness, that uplifting, that, you know, being able to inspire people. And so, you know, that just kind of makes me feel so much better, and it makes being able to cope a little bit better, because I know that he absolutely left his imprint.
Yeah, he left his imprint in the family and in his South Shore Tar family. I know we've had, you know, we've always, you know, we debate on Facebook, and sometimes we disagree, but it was always respectful. I would always end it with much respect, and seldom did we disagree. But when we did, we talked about it. We went at it, and you know, it was good. It was I loved debating with him because he knew what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
even when we disagreed, he knew he wasn't just talking off the top of his head like a lot of people tend to do. It was very, you know, I learned a lot from him. I learned a lot how to debate and debating with him, and it was just a healthy relationship. You know, he was just a good brother, and I can imagine how surreal it is with you, because it's so surreal with me. I said when I opened the show, I could barely get it out then, but I got a text this morning from a friend of ours, Tamir Melvin, saying what happened, and this is how I'm thinking. I picked up the phone, called, figuring that, you know, let's straighten this out,
right?
You know, because it hadn't really sunk in yet until I jumped on the page, and then I saw the post, and that's when it was like, wow, and it's as real as it is, it's unreal at the same time. But it's a fact.
Know, it's really unreal, and I'll tell you something. I think the part that gets me, like I can, like I said, I understand life and I understand death, but you know, his dad passed when he was very young, and his father, they, you know, my grandmother and my grandfather, they came from down south and they moved into Inglewood, and my grandfather had a heart attack, and the hospital that's right there, I can't think of the name of, right off the expressway, off of 63rd, they turned my grandfather away because he was black. And then they couldn't get him in an ambulance because he was black. And he died on the way trying to get him to Stroger Hospital. And the only thing that really messes me up is because my father fought and lived his life every single day not to die the same way his father did. And, you know, unfortunately, he still ended up dying from the same thing.
Wow.
And it's just, you know, that's the only thing that's just so unfortunate to me about the situation, because, you know, I was just sitting there looking at him like, damn, Dad. You know, I know you had to go, but I was hoping that it wasn't like this, you know. I went back there and I looked at him and I got on my knees and I touched his head and I prayed and I told him, you know, thank you. And it's okay, and I understand. And I don't want your soul to be in any type of confusion or any type of chaos over this event. Go ahead and do what you got to do and go where you got to go, because you did what you had to do while you was here. And and I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful. Like, I can't even express how grateful I am that I had him, that he was the type of person that he was, and that I could even, you know, just be able to say goodbye to him in the manner that I did. And I just really, really appreciate everybody. And I really, really appreciate all the love, because he deserves it.
Yes. 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 And I appreciate you calling in again and sharing your story. It's refreshing to hear you having been there yesterday and having a chance to see him and, you know, and to share all of this with us.
Yeah. I mean, I'm Gunny's daughter. Anybody who know me, when you see me, you see my father. When you talk to me, you hear my father. You know, I was his first daughter, and before he had a son, I was his first son, too.
Played dual roles.
Yeah, so, you know, he gonna live on through me. And that's my word, you know, and I'm going to pour everything he poured into me, into my kids, And you know, we keep the legacy, we keep our bloodline, we keep our ancestors honored at all times. You know, and he's now one, and I know he got my back still, and I just really feel comfort in that because I know he, you know, he, like people have said who called me, he's always had Jade, always.
Well, it's very admirable the way that you're handling this. It's really uplifting, and it kind of helps settle me down, to be honest with you. Hearing what you're saying, you know, has a positive effect on how I'm feeling.
I understand. When someone goes, you don't have any choice but to be sad. We're humans. It's a natural emotion. But I'm a deeply spiritual person, and my faith dictates that I honor his soul and that we celebrate his life. My dad was a happy, upbeat person at all times. I can rarely even remember a time where he was angry, upset. I don't even remember a time seeing him sad. And so I he wouldn't want me to be all broke up. You know what I mean? I turned on, you know, the video I posted earlier, I turned on some Frankie Beverly and Maze, and I danced around the house because growing up my whole life, I would wake up, he would be up with the crack of dawn with the newspaper and his coffee and his Newport, listening to Bill Withers and Steely Dan at 5 o'clock in the morning, watching the sun come up. And so, you know, that's how we gonna roll with it. It's gonna, you know, I'm gonna celebrate him. I'm not gonna sit here and you know, be all somber and all that stuff. He was a happy person, and that's how I'm gonna honor him, by continuing to be happy.
I hear that. Well, you make sure, and I know you will without saying, but I'll be looking for arrangements. And like I said, I will absolutely, definitely, positively be in town whenever they are. So I'll be looking for that information, and I'll spread it out, and we'll send my brother to that better place and the right way, the South Shore Taj for life and the family.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you too, Jade. You take care of yourself, and I'll see you soon.
All right, bye bye.
All right, bye bye. Wow, that was refreshing. That was refreshing. I needed that. Coming from his own daughter, his oldest daughter, expressing her feelings in the manner in which she expressed them was refreshing to me. Wow. Well, I guess we might be coming down to the end. We don't have any more, any new callers here that I see. Tell you what I'm going to do. If there's anybody that wants to, I'm going to turn the mics on for everybody and unmute them. And if anybody wants to say a final something, then you can shout it out right now. Anybody?
Man,
good?
We
this
love
is Carl.
Kevin Farmer. We
okay,
love
we'll
you, Jake. We love you, Bowie. We love the Farmer family. We're here for you guys. Jay, I'm rolling with you. That's who your father was, and I appreciate it. That's
Thank you.
Forward.
Thank you.
You got it.
Okay, everybody's mic is on. So, Brother Carl, you was about to.
I really appreciate this, man. This really helped me, man. Listening to everybody, man, this is really touching. Kevin was a Renaissance man. Yes, he was Renaissance man, my brother.
I appreciate that, and I can say the same thing. And I know once we were talking about. I interviewed him once, and he said it took him a while before he learned how to treat a woman. And I went through the same thing. I'm a late bloomer. And we both ruined a couple of relationships as a result of that. We talked about it, and we were honest and upfront with each other. But at the same time, you know, these obstacles that we had, and he had obstacles, I had them, but we overcame them, and we got them together. And we made ourselves into respectful and really good dudes. You know, we both turned out to be good brothers.
Absolutely. And, absolutely.
And,
that's our family is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no other. I can't speak for any other schools, but it's something about South Shore, brother, that just the
it's
seeds
awesome.
That we planted in there and the what we bloomed up in that school, brother, is incredible. And brother Kevin Farmer was definitely a backbone.
Part of that. Oh, yeah.
Of that. So, okay, well, man, I'm glad that I needed this. This is actually therapeutic for me. I was wondering if I can get through it, and especially when I started, I wasn't sure if I could. But I tell you, listening to Jay, listening to you, thank you. I needed that.
Thanks, Keith. I want to thank you, man, for doing this, man. We really need this, man.
Yes,
absolutely. Time, man.
So what I normally do as I close, I will say that in the name of whomever, your spiritual power, whatever your spiritual power, peace.
Special song right here we'd like to share with you. It means a lot to us, and we hope to you. This is our national anthem right here, right here. We'd like to ask everybody in the house to stand. Everybody get on up on your feet. Let's party together. Come on. Right on. Do you feel like singing? I can't hear you. I said, do you feel like singing? Let's try it one time. First, let's get an almighty groove. Come on, y'all. Oh, it feels so good. All right. Here we go. Don't ever take it.
Yeah,